Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
But I came here tonight to speak for everyone in this state that still believes in a democracy and still believes that there are perimeters in which we govern and still believes that Albany can be more than the dysfunctional wreck that it's become over the years.
Governor Patterson angry yesterday after the coup in the Senate in which two Democrats crossed over and joined with the Republicans to vote for a new majority leader, a Republican majority leader, Dean Skelos, who then turned around and appointed one of those two defecting Democrats, Pedro Espada of the Bronx, as president of the Senate. So there's a certain nominal bipartisanship to this. But what does it mean for the things that they're trying to finish before the end of the term at the end of this month? Gay marriage, mayoral control of schools, your property and sales taxes. What a mess. How do you spell dysfunction? A-L-B-A-N-Y. And joining us to talk about it is Ken Lovett, Albany bureau chief for the Daily News. Hi, Ken.
Hi, how are you?
Good. So what's new on this morning? Is this still rolling in the last couple of hours?
Yeah, it's still moving forward. The Democrats met privately. It looks probably like the end of Malcolm Smith, regardless of what the outcome is here.
He was the majority leader since the Democrats took control after the last election.
Right, and the coalition, as they're calling themselves, the two Democrats and the Republicans are meeting at 11 o'clock today to discuss where to go from here.
Now, in terms of how to view this, as a Republican takeover or something more bipartisan and good government, we had one of the two defecting Democrats, Hiram Montserrat from Queens, on the show last hour, and he objected when I called it Republican control. Listen.
What we have agreed to is not Republican control, but a bipartisan power-sharing agreement. Pedro Espada would be the president pro tem of the New York State Senate. And Mr. Skelos will take on the position of majority leader, particularly amongst his conference. So I wanted to clarify that because I think it would be misleading to say that the Republicans are in control.
Is it misleading, Ken Lovett, to say the Republicans are in control?
Well, we haven't seen anything yet, but no. I mean, this is a way the Republicans got their power back. They needed two votes to topple the Democratic leadership. They got it. They are in control. Now, there will be some power sharing, we're told. Supposedly anywhere between 10 and 13 committee chairmanships will go to Democrats. You have Pedro Espada, a Democrat, as the president of the Senate. We don't know what that role will entail, although it is, you know, typically a powerful role in the sense that the majority leader and the president pro tem were always combined. It was always a single role. So now they split that up. They carved it up. However, if something happens to Governor Patterson, by the Constitution, it's the president pro tem who becomes acting governor.
And we have a few minutes for your calls on this. Listeners, are you confused? Do you want Ken Lovett, Daily News Albany bureau chief, to clear some of this stuff up for you? Do you have an opinion about it? Let it roll here for about the next 5 minutes at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. If you want to get in on the discussion of the coup in Albany, or you can always post to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehr Show. What does Hiram Montserrat get for this deal? What does Pedro Espada get for this deal, the two Democrats who defected and voted with the Republicans?
Well, as we said, Espada becomes, you know, president of the Senate. That's a powerful position.
You did say he's next in line, right? Did I get that right? Because I didn't realize that before. If something happens to Governor Patterson, and we certainly no governor in our area would ever leave office in midterm. That never happens. But if something were to happen to Governor Patterson, Pedro
was for Governor Espada.
Okay. So that's one thing that he gets. He gets that position. How about Montserrat?
Montserrat, it's unclear at this point. You know, we're assuming he's going to get a committee chairmanship. Don't forget, under pressure, Malcolm Smith stripped him of his committee chairmanship and his stipend that came with it because of his indictment on assault charges for, you know, supposedly cutting his girlfriend with a broken glass.
This is just about their personal power then? I mean, Ruben Diaz, who was in, you know, the Gang of Three when they almost denied the Democrats power earlier in the year, and Diaz was just here yesterday talking about his big issue, gay marriage. At least what he was looking for, no matter what we may think of his stand, he was looking for his position on an issue to win the day. Are these guys just looking for their personal power? They don't even have a public policy stake in this deal?
Not really. They'll tell you it's all about reform, but if you look at Pedro Espada, he's always been about Pedro Espada. When he was a senator a couple of years ago, he left for a little while, but when he was a senator a couple of years ago, he broke ranks with the Democrats and started conferencing with the Republicans and voting with the Republicans. Again, then he comes here, and he and Montserrat and Senator Carl Krueger from Brooklyn, they basically held Malcolm Smith hostage when Smith was looking for the votes to make a majority leader. And they basically held out for powerful positions, which they got. It's all about self-aggrandizement and really what's in it for me.
How do you think this does affect some of the big issues on the table right now? Let's tick them off. Gay marriage. Any more or less likely to come to the floor for a vote? Any more or less likely to pass?
Marriage is probably an equal, probably hasn't changed much. I mean, the votes weren't there. Espada was saying this morning he would prefer it does come to the floor, whether it votes or not, whether it goes through or not. Malcolm Smith wouldn't bring the issue to the floor unless he knew for sure it would pass. Espada says, maybe it's time to bring it to the floor and let's see what happens.
And what about Tom Duane's role in this? Very Democratic senator, leader of the marriage equality movement in the Senate. And I understand he was laying low yesterday and not knocking this deal as most of the other Democrats were.
No, and a matter of fact, not only was he not knocking the deal, when Malcolm Smith came out with his members to show that they were still in charge, he was lacking about seven of them, and Tom Duane was one of them.
And that's why I'm speculating that maybe there's a better chance for gay marriage in this deal for some reason, somehow, that I can't quite figure out. If Tom Duane was laying low, am I overthinking it?
No, I mean, there may be a better chance that it comes to the floor for a vote, absolutely. And there's a feeling that if it does come to the floor for a vote, that some people would feel pressured to voting for it.
How about mayoral control of public schools?
I think this actually helps the mayor if it goes through, because the Republicans have been strongly behind the mayor, who's been a big financial supporter of theirs, and they've been strongly behind the issue of keeping mayoral control intact. So I think this actually helps the mayor, because a lot of Democrats wanted to do a lot of changes to it to give the mayor less power over the schools.
How about the sales tax that Mayor Bloomberg wants to help balance the city budget? The state has to approve that.
Yeah, I think that could be trouble, except if you look, the Republicans have traditionally said we are not going to pass, tax increases. However, they do pass them when localities ask specifically for them. They do vote in favor of them when localities ask specifically for them. I think that's an issue that may be tougher in the Assembly than in the Senate if the Republicans are in charge.
The Democratic Assembly. Jorge in the Bronx, you're on WNYC with Ken Lovett from the Daily News in Albany. Hi.
How you doing, Brian? How are the boys?
Good, fine. What's up?
Well, Ruben Diaz Sr. is not going to do anything to jeopardize his own election campaign that's going to be at the end of this year sometime. And the Espada, maybe he made a deal that maybe they're going to make him a citizen of the Bronx, even though he lives in Westchester. And I'm sure that Gonzalez, who's going to go to prison, is happy as hell that Espada did this, because this is his part to get even with Jose Rivera for what they did in his campaign. Nobody backed Gonzalez.
So there's internal Bronx County politics in this as well, you're saying. Lonnie in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Lonnie.
Hi, how are you?
Okay.
I was calling because, first of all, I'm very upset about what's going on, and I had two questions. One, is there any way that the Democrats would legally be able to take back control? And my second thing was, is just that it seems very shady to me. It seems very corrupt. Is there a possibility of bribery going on, perhaps to take attention away from the charges, or even a monetary bribe?
Probably legal bribery, giving them positions in exchange for their votes. Anything there, Ken?
Well, in terms of can the Democrats do anything, I mean, a lot of Democrats I spoke to last night, and really it's the rule here, you know, if you have 32 votes in the Senate, you have the votes. So even if it's found, and I'm not quite sure procedurally the Republicans did anything wrong yesterday, but even if it was found that they did, well, all that would happen is the next time the Senate's in session, they would try it again because they have the votes.
Right.
I think if a few more Democrats flip, which I think is quite possible today and tomorrow, you're going to not even see this go to court, that the writing will be on the wall and Malcolm Smith will have to yield. The other thing is, too, even if somehow the Democrats come up with a plan to lure Espada and Montserrat back, it will be without Malcolm Smith as leader. So either way, Malcolm Smith is done as majority leader.
Last thing in our last minute, the role of Tom Golisano in this, the Rochester billionaire who's run for governor a few times as an independent, he recently moved out of the state to avoid paying the higher income taxes that the state legislature enacted as part of the budget. He's now a resident of Florida, I understand, for income tax purposes. And yet he had a role in brokering this power switch?
He had a big role, and he does not deny that. He said that if people, you know, go over and they do the reforms and they act the way we hope they act, we will help them with their campaigns if they're primaried.
What is he after?
He's after, he wants various reforms in the Senate. I mean, realistically, the budget was the final straw for him. You know, it increased taxes and fees by about $8 billion. It increased spending, depending, you know, by 9%. So that's what drove him to say, you know what, I've had it with Malcolm Smith. He broke all his promises to me. He also was not happy that he felt Malcolm Smith was disrespecting him. So he decided to do something about it.
And he did get a good government reform or two, Golisano, out of this, right? Like mandating that pork barrel projects would now be distributed equally among members of both parties rather than concentrating in whoever's in the majority?
Right, an equal, you know, or at least a better spending of resources more equally between the majority and the minority parties. You know, they did pass a bunch of reforms yesterday in the midst of all this.
All right. Ken Levitt, Albany Bureau Chief for the Daily News. Albany may be spelled D-Y-S-F-U-N-C-T-I-O-N, but it's not spelled B-O-R-I-N-G these days. Ken, thanks a lot.
Anytime.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up, we will get two views of the Two Trees Development Project. This is a proposed residential tower for Dumbo that has Brooklyn Bridge historian David McCullough, Brooklyn Bridge documentarian Ken Burns, up in arms about what it would do to views of the Brooklyn Bridge. Stay with us.